Okay, so we're going to run through now this, try to cover all the halachas, or as much of this that we can cover in this time, that we've been learning over the past six weeks, I believe. This is basically going straight through Siman Shin Beis. After you read through this, you could just like read through the Mechaber and Siman Shin Beis, and you'll see, I try to stick to the order of the Mechaber. And there's also one part that's in Shin Chaf, that was the part with the Chavius, with the cloth that you stuck in there and squeezing out to maintain the spigot. That's in the end of Shin Chaf. Okay, so let's begin over here. So the first halacha in Siman Shin Beis, which was the first sugya that we learned in the sugya of Mis'im Labein, is A, shaking off water or dust from clothing, right? So this is a cleaning process which doesn't involve water. You don't wash the clothing, and you don't actually rub or scrub the clothing. It just got dirty. Either it got wet from droplets of rain or dew, or it got dusty. The question is, can you shake it off? So the case where it got wet from droplets of dew, that everybody agreed was Aser. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, remember, everybody held that for sure was Aser, because once it involves water, then shaking it off is effectively cleaning the baguette with water. You're making the baguette clean from water with water. So that is considered cleaning, and that everybody held you not to do it. However, there's only three, if three conditions are met. It has to be black, it has to be new, and it has to be that you care that it's wet, and you care that these droplets are on it. If you don't care, even though you happen to be shaking it off, but you would technically wear it even without shaking it off, then it's not a problem. So why is it that it's only if it's new and if it's black? So that Mishnah Berurah explains. We saw it was Mechalek Zushayna, but Mishnah Berurah explained that the reason is because when it's new and black, it actually makes a big difference. The fact that it's wet shows up much more on a black and a new clothing, and it makes it look not that much worse. So the fact that it's on it, you're actually accomplishing something much more intense by shaking off that water, and therefore it's considered cleaning. But even so, even with the fact that it's black and it's new and it makes a big difference, it's only if it actually makes a difference to you. If it doesn't make a difference to you, then it's not considered that it's getting clean. We had explained also that this is somewhat different than typical cleaning, and that's why it has different halachas, and it's limited to being black and new and all these tanoim. The reason is because the dirt over here hasn't been absorbed into the baguette. Real cleaning, by definition, means when there's dirt absorbed in a baguette, and you're removing dirt that's been absorbed. Here, it's on the surface. Even we'll see soon in dust, it's not been absorbed, it's on the surface. So it's only a quasi form of cleaning. It's not a real cleaning, and that's why it's very limited when it's usr. And it's only usr when it's this black and it's new and you're makbid, so that all combines together to make it significant, has affected the baguette significantly enough that we'll consider it cleaning by shaking it off. But the fact alone that that it's on it wouldn't necessitate that it's considered cleaning, because it really hasn't been absorbed. That's the reason why these are different. Fine. Now, one thing, I don't know if I mentioned it when I was giving the shir, but snow is actually an exception. The Bir Halacha says it. Snow is an exception because snow doesn't get absorbed at all. It's even less than water. It just sits on the top, unless it has started to melt, obviously. But if you walked outside with the snow on your, or hail on your hat, you can flick it off. That's mutter to do.
Once it starts to melt, even though it's clearly very separate, it's awesome.
So the water part of it is—that's what Mishnah Berurah is basically saying. The water part of it is droplets of water that like does spawn slightly with whatever it's on.
Well, like I say, if you go outside in the rain with your hat and your hat's all wet,
right?
And your hat, as long as it's not new, you can just turn.
Correct. Right. Right. We'll see a little bit more about that soon. Yeah.
If it's not new.
If it's not new, it's motor, even though you're makbid. Yeah. Okay. But we'll see soon. The new is not so clear what exactly is considered new. Unless, of course, you know, it's your rain hat that really doubles as a yarmulke, you know, then that's not new. But otherwise, you know, a regular hat, it's not so clear when we call it not new anymore. Okay, now, aside from that, if your clothing got soaked, from rain, so then shaking it out is schita. So that's a whole new problem. Then it's no matter what you have is aser, because you're not allowed to squeeze out clothing from water on Shabbos, because that's chita. So therefore, taking that and shaking it will cause the water to come out that's absorbed to come out, and that's chita. That's aser no matter what. That's when it got soaked. Here we're talking about just that, you know, it was a light rain, and it's just really not that much. Didn't get that wet. It's just the surface doesn't look nice from all the water on it. That's why you're trying to get it off. Once there's water absorbed in it, a significant amount, then shaking it. Interestingly enough, if your hair gets wet, I mean, it's not for us, we don't have that type of hair, but for girls, if their hair, long hair, and their hair gets wet, to shake your hair, head vigorously is also a problem of shechita. You're getting the hair out, the water out of your hair, same thing. You can't shake it vigorously, it's also considered shechita. Same thing as just shaking a baguette. So that's not an option if their hair gets wet. So what they could do is, we'll see later, that you can put a towel on your head, just let it sit there and absorb, you know, pat it, but you can't squeeze. That you could do. But actually shaking it is not a heter.
About the mice in the Gemara with the oil in her hair.
So that there the Gemara said ain't schita bisar. But we didn't learn that Gemara, because the Maskana, we don't pass them like that. Oh. Yeah, we saw it quoted, yeah. We pass in yesh schita bisar. Yeah. As a result of the fact that we pass in yesh schita bisar, what we see from there is just interesting concepts, important to know, is sisar here isn't really absorbent. It's more that it's just trapped in between the hairs, the liquid, right? So it's there, by that token, if you have some synthetic shaitel, right, it doesn't make a difference. It's not the fact that it's here, right? And likewise, if you have some place can hold at least a toothbrush, has a problem of schita because of the hair, the water being trapped in between the bristles is equivalent to being trapped in here. So some paiskim hold you can't use a toothbrush in Shabbos because of schita issues. Some paiskim. The majority, I don't think, hold like that because they're pretty far. They're far enough apart that it's like really almost like a cup holding water. It's not really like the way here. You know, like here stays wet for a long time. A toothbrush will not. So it doesn't quite have the same absorbency, even though. But my father-in-law was once speaking to Diane Fisher, and he was of the opinion, my father-in-law held, that you're allowed to use a toothbrush in Shabbos. And he was coming to us to discuss other issues with toothpaste and mamachek, other malachas. And Diane Fisher said, one second, there's a problem of schita. Sort of pulled out the rug from under his feet, so he couldn't use the toothbrush. But in any case, most likely don't agree to that part. Okay. And now, while we're on that topic, if your clothing does get soaked in the rain, then we learned that was one of the first sugyas we learned, which is not really in Shembeis, but that is, what are you allowed to do with it? Where can you hang it up? Because there's a problem of maris ayin. There's a problem that if you were to, for example, argument's sake, if you were to hang it up on a clothesline to dry out your clothing, so then there's a maris ayin that it looks like you washed it on Shabbos. So therefore, it's aser to do on Shabbos to hang it up in a place, certainly in a place where it's typically hung up, that's for sure aser. There are two things that are mutter, and that is, we had spoken about it during the shir, a raincoat, which is just not something you wash ever. So that doesn't have this problem, so that you could hang up, because it's just not something that people wash. You don't throw a raincoat into a washing machine. And likewise, you can hang it up in a place where it's not normal to hang up things to dry, like you can hang it up in the closet. We're discussing whether you can hang up things in the bathroom. We had some people that were emphatically saying that we do not hang up things to dry in a bathroom. There were other people that were saying, yes, things are hung up to dry in a bathroom. It might depend on the size of your apartment. That can play a role. So whatever. If you do hang up things in your bathroom to dry on a regular basis, then you can't hang up this to dry in your bathroom. You'd have to hang it up in the closet. Otherwise, you could. Okay. Now, this is all water. Now, what happens if your clothing gets dusty, gets dirty from dust, and you want to shake it out, or your hat gets dusty, can you knock it off? Can you knock off the dust? So this was Rashi. Tosis held that this is not a problem, and the Mechaber, the Paskins like Tosis, and he says that dust is not a problem. However, the Rama brings down that Rashi says that dust is also a problem, same thing, same klolum, meaning to say that if it's black and it's new, and you're makbid on the dust, meaning to say you would not want to walk in with this dust on it, it's also as the same as water, you're not allowed to shake out the dust. Now Lamaisa, the Rama says it's not clear whether Rama is even passing like that, but Mishabur says it should be machmer. However, he says makom atzairach, you certainly can ask a goy to shake it out for you, because it's machalik sepaiskim. Most paiskim do not hold like Rashi, so you can ask a goy to shake it out. Again, the concept over here is that it's not really, really considered washing the baguette or cleaning the baguette because it hasn't really become absorbed. The dust is really just on the surface. That's why shaking it helps to get it out. And that's why we can say that, no, this is not cleaning, or why is it only when it's black and new, and makbid, that it's a problem? Because it's not really, really cleaning, it's just on the surface. Now, the Bi'ur Halacha brings down, it's number 7, the Bi'ur Halacha brings down that we are not exactly sure what qualifies as new, and therefore you should be machmir, rather, up till the point where it's, like I said, most certainly can't be considered new by any stretch of the imagination. The Bi'ur Halacha says that even so, He says that it's really a chumrah. He says most places don't even say this. They say new means new. The pashut understanding of new, you know, like a new hat, the chayis, the first month, but after that, it's not really, doesn't look new, that new look anymore. So he says, if necessary, you could be lenient. So if it got really embarrassingly dirty, you know, like it fell, or you put it down on top of a bookcase without, you know, checking first with your finger, he says you can, I mean, if you got embarrassing dirty, you could be mekel, and you can flick it off. However, what he does say, though, is that this is all this whole schmooze with rubbing off dust or shaking off water is only shaking. It does not apply to certainly not taking a brush and even not taking two sides of the baguette and rubbing them against each other. That's a whole different ballpark. Once you do that, that's already, you're doing the malacha of cleaning, because the action is an action of cleaning. So in other words, the reason why we're makel over here is a combination of two things, not just one thing. It's a combination of the fact, like I said, that the dirt hasn't really been absorbed, so it's not considered washing, but it's also that you're not really doing a proper method of cleaning. Proper method of cleaning is rubbing and scrubbing, not shaking. Shaking is not the way you clean something. But if you were to rub and scrub, that no matter what is also. So no matter what, even if you have an old hat, you can take your hat brush and brush it on Shabbos. There's no way that can be mutter to do. And likewise, your clothing, you can't do that. But what you could do is you could flick it and shake it and bang it. That you could do. You know, that method of getting rid of the dust, you can do. But really, to, you know, brush it off, even to take your sleeve, you know, go like this, is also should not be done. Okay, so that takes care of this section. Shaking off water or dust from clothing. Now let's go when you have a stain. Again,
we're shaking off like a tablecloth would never be a problem.
Right, because that's really on the surface.
Right.
You mean like from crumbs?
Yeah.
Right. So that's nothing. Yeah. That's like the next, actually, I didn't even write that down, but that would have been a good mushel for the next Sif in Shulchan Aruch that says that if you have like these strings that sometimes you have on your clothing, you know, little strings, it says that's no problem. You can pull those off because those are totally on the surface. Those aren't bonded at all. So that would be a good mushel of that. Crumbs on a tablecloth, that's certainly permitted to shake off because it's not, it hasn't bonded at all. Okay, B is removing stain from clothing. So again, we're talking now removing a stain and there's no water involved. No water involved, just going to remove the stain without water. So if mud or a food stain got onto clothing, it's permitted to remove the stain, again, without using water, but you need the following three conditions. A, the food or the mud hasn't totally dried out. The reason why this is usur is because if the food or the mud totally dried out, there's an interesting side problem, not a washing problem, but it's teichen. It's a problem of teichen, grinding. It's dried out, and you're going to crumble it by scratching it off. That's a problem of teichen, of grinding. Now, being that that's the problem, let's say over here in number two, not everything is subject to the problem of teichen. There's a klal that ain teichen achar teichen. Once something has been ground once, even if it becomes hard, there's no isur teichen anymore. For example, bread. Right? Bread has been ground once. You're allowed to take bread and grind it into breadcrumbs. You can take matzah and crumble it up because it's been ground one time. There's no teichen anymore at all on something that's been ground one time. So therefore, if you have, if let's say chumas or tchina gets onto your clothing, right, and totally ground off, and now you just want to, you know, scrape it off, that's been ground already one time. So there's no problem. Likewise, there's ein teichen ela b'gidulei karka. I forgot to write this. Tchina is only by gidulei karka. Only things that grow from the ground. An egg, you're allowed to grind on Shabbos, right? Which I'm sure many people do that on Shabbos. When you make the eggs for Shabbos, chopped eggs, you're allowed to chop it up. You're not allowed to do it over the dechol. You're not allowed to use a keli, which is the derech. It's not a teichen problem. So if something like that got stuck on your clothing, which doesn't grow from the ground, that also would be mutter. That wouldn't be a problem, the fact that it's hard. But other than that, if it's hard, you can't scrape it off because of teichen. So that's number one. So it can't be hard.
Dirt is considered gedulei karka?
So that's a good question. Dirt is considered gedulei karka. It's considered karka. So it seems to be, for some reason, it's interesting. But yeah, it is. There's another issue with that, but let's leave that for now. Okay, number two. B, you can't, when you remove it, you can't remove it by rubbing the actual area that has the dirt on it. Right? So you can't take the, so it wasn't clear exactly what, what you can do, but let's just, for our purposes, being that it's not so clear, you can't take the two edges of the baguette and go like this. You can't rub them together to remove the dirt. That's usur. What you could do is you can flick it from the other side, the side that the dirt isn't on. You can definitely flick it from the other side in order to get the dirt off. That you could do. And what you could also do is you could take a knife and scrape it off. That's also fine. There's no rubbing involved. You can use a knife to scrape it off. That's permitted. C is, this is the Mishnah Berurah's chiddush, is that it's only mutter to remove the stain if there's going to be some remnant of the stain left on the clothing, which means that if you're going to peel off this, whatever it is that got stuck on you, and there's going to be absolutely, you're going to totally clean the baggage by doing that, there's going to be nothing visible at all that it was anything there, then it's aser. It's only mutter because there's something going to be left on there. It's interesting, Mishnah Berurah, you see, comes from a Bahag, Bahag's Girsa in the Gemara. His understanding is that once you're removing the stain so totally, so then even though you're not really effectively doing anything as far as, you know, just removing it technically, your whole pool is mutter, but you've caused the beggar to become clean, and that's a problem. All right, so that's a problem. So you have to meet three tanaim in order that it should be mutter. Three conditions. Number one, it can't be taichein. So either it can't be hard, or even if it is hard, something which doesn't have the problem of taichein. So number one is it can't have taichein. Number two is that you have to remove it without actually rubbing the area itself, either by flicking the other side or by scraping it off with a knife. And number three is that after you remove it, it has to be the type of thing that there will be some remnant of the stain left, which actually probably most of the time that is the case. The only like example I could think of an exception is like one chalon being stuck to you, you know. So then maybe that by taking it off, it would maybe not leave anything at all. So there, perhaps you have to do a bad job taking it off, you know. I guess make it worse, like rub it in while you're taking it off, so that you don't run into this problem, or walk around with a bean on you. That's your other option. Okay.
You can't just take it off.
Episode, I mean, it's like I really got stuck on. Yeah.
So that would be considered clean malabin, take it off?
That's what he says. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. Zara pishtan. Even like even if it's a distinct piece. But if it's truly stuck on, then it's. Now, number three. This is if mud got onto your clothing. What happened if mud got onto your shoe? So then there's no problem. It can be scraped off any way you like. Right? Because on a shoe, it's hard. It's like leather. Anything like that, you can scrape it off any way you like, that's not a problem. However, there is a whole different problem. You can't rub it off on the ground outside, because then there is a gzeira of ashuye gumois. It'll come to smooth out the ground, which is a malach of binyan or chayresh, depending what you're preparing the ground for. And that's a different problem. So if you have mud on your shoes and you want to rub it off, you have to rub it off either on like a doorstep or on a carpet, or inside on something that won't offend anybody, you know. But outside on unfinished ground, like on grass, you're not over there, you can't scrape it off. Okay, section C. Now, leather. So removing stain from leather. So leather was an interesting type of material because leather is not so absorbent. So that's why leather has leniency. So now we're moving into actually cleaning something using water. Now we're starting to where can you use water to clean something? So leather is as follows. So if a stain got onto leather clothing, leather couch, shoe, any of the above, so you're allowed to pour water on it to remove it. Right? This is what the Gemara calls shichshuch. This is the whole sugya in Zvachim, right? About damchatas. That you're allowed to pour water on it. Pouring water on leather doesn't constitute washing. But that's only pouring. You can pour water on it, like if someone spilled orange soda on your couch, you can pour water on it and let it just run off to that way try to get the stain off, but you cannot rub it. You can't employ any rubbing or scrubbing method. That is a problem even by leather. Likewise, anything which is similar to leather, like vinyl, even though it's plastic, but it's slightly absorbent. Certain plastics are absorbent. Our example we were talking about then was contact lenses. Contact lenses have an absorbency. So also they have the same problem. You can't rub them, and you can't, we'll see in a second. So any type of material like that has a problem. Now, of course, all these things, the whole problem of schita to begin with is only when the thing is some sort of pliability, some softness to it. If it's very hard, then it's a keli, then there's no problem of washing at all. That's why you can wash your glasses, wash kalim. Those never have a problem of washing. Washing starts only when the thing has some measure of pliability, if there's such a word. The last thing is that even leather or plastic that you're allowed to pour water on it, but you can't pour soap on it. You can't pour soap on it, let the soap sit on it. So like you can't spray it with Windex. on Shabbos, and or you can't spray it with like a Clorox or something like that, that wouldn't be permitted. Because a cleaning agent, even though you're just pouring it on, that's already considered cleaning on Shabbos, and that's why the Paiskim said that you can't soak your contact lenses in a cleaning solution. Because a cleaning solution, that's usher even by leather, even though you're not rubbing it, even though you're just pouring it on. So that's going to be a problem. So if you have your vinyl tablecloth or your couch got wet, you can spray it with water, but you can't spray it with anything that's a cleaner, a cleanser. Okay, so that's the story with leather. Because leather has this one leniency that we don't say shriyase zui kibusai. By leather, we don't say making it wet is called washing it. That's why by leather, you're allowed to pour water on it. That's why we have these leniencies. Now, D is clothing. Clothing does not have this leniency, so therefore clothing which got stained cannot be soaked or made wet in any way. You can't pour water on it, you can't put it into water. We spoke about last week, if a child got their underwear dirty, you can't put it into the toilet to try to clean it. You can't get it wet. You can take it off, but you can't get it wet. That's also to get it wet. Now, the only exception to this rule, where are you allowed to make something wet? The exception is if you meet two qualifications, which is A, the clothing or towel or whatever it is that you're making wet is clean, and B, it's the water is not being put there to clean it. It's being put there, which we call derech luchluch, for other purposes. And the classic example is you take a towel and you wipe your hands. Another classic example is you take a towel and you wipe up a spill. So those two situations, it's mutter because A, the towel was clean. B, it's not being used for cleaning. The opposite, you're making it dirty, derech luchluch, therefore it's mutter. Now, the one exception for this is that you can't use a towel. You can only, when you want to wipe up a spill, you can only use a towel, which is the derech to get wet. But you can't grab the nearest thing available, which often is like a child's clothing or something like that. Can't grab that to wipe up a spill, because clothing, we make a gezeira, you'll come to squeeze it out, because clothing is not the derech for it to be wet. And it bothers you when it's wet. So therefore, there's a gezeira sham yischet. So this heter to, where's that halacha?
We didn't learn it.
No, it's in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishabura did speak it out. It actually, we did not cover it. Shulchan Aruch, you'll see it. So you can only use a towel or a dish towel that typically does become wet, but otherwise not. It's interesting. There's another problem besides gezeira sham yischet, which it's not discussed here. It's discussed in a whole different siman. There's the concept called bittul kli mehechanai. You can't take a keli on Shabbos and render it unusable. It's considered like breaking it. And to make something soaking wet, the Gemara says, is equivalent to making it unusable. So why is it that you can use a dish towel? Because if something is intended for that purpose, then you don't have this problem. So a dish towel is mutter to use, but there's some question about a bath towel. You have a huge spill, right? So usually what you'll do is you'll go get a bath towel to wipe up a huge spill. Right? Someone knocked over a whole bottle of soda. It's not so pashut that you can take a whole bath towel because it's not really intended to get that wet. That's not the purpose of a bath towel. A dish towel is, but a bath towel not. So that might cause you to get, you know, use up all your dish towels. But it's not so pashut. It's not pashut. Okay. Yeah, so those I should have written that also. Napkins, paper towels don't have this problem at all. There's no malabin at all. Those get ruined when they get wet, and they get thrown away. So that those you can always make wet. That's not a problem, right? So you can use those without any compunction.
You could use them under running water.
Yes, likewise. Yeah, technically, yeah. Right. There's no washing on them. Well, you might have a problem with schita. You know, depends how you do it. Right, like if the water's running, maybe, I don't know, probably wouldn't have schita in that case, because the water's, you know, constantly going through. Yeah,
you're
technically you could.
Washing your hands on a towel, though, it should be new.
I'm sorry?
You're washing your hands on a towel, it should be new?
Clean, you mean?
Clean.
Technically, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Now, dirty means really dirty, not just used. That's not called dirty.
Okay.
It has to have actually dirt on it.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, even if it's, Mishabura says, even if it got black from being used, it's not called dirty.
Okay.
It has to have dirt. Okay. Now, so another thing that's interesting about this is a sponge can't be used to wipe up a spill, because a sponge, there's a psik resha that you'll do schita, because you can't hold a sponge without some water coming out, unless it has a handle, which I don't know, I don't think we have sponges like that. I mean, they have like those bristles, but they don't make sponges like that, as far as I haven't seen. So a sponge you can't hold ever, you can't use that to wipe up a spill. The last thing that's interesting is that if you have a towel, a dish towel in your sink, dish towel fell into your sink, so you can't run water on it. So if the Mishnah is talking about a case where you have clothing soaking in a bucket, so he says as long as the things are totally submerged, then you're allowed to add water. But if it's not totally submerged and you're going to be raising the water level to cover more of the clothing, he says that's aser. So that's not so relevant for us usually, because whatever, we're not hanging around busy with soaking clothing on Shabbos. But if some of this does happen, you do have a dish towel in your sink or like a washcloth in your sink and it's totally wet, you're not allowed to run water on top of it. That's clean water, and it's not derech lechloch. It really is effectively cleaning it. You're not allowed to do that. You have to get that dish towel, that towel out of the sink, which poses a problem, because it's very hard to pick up that towel without doing schita. So this can be an issue. So really the right way to do it would be sort of to take a fork or something like that, you know, get the edge of it and get it out. That's the chara, what you would need to do.
And you're not doing schita, even though by definition, even the water's going to spill out.
Right, dripping out is that's excess water. Uh-huh. Yeah, but once you pick it up, that's ready. Yeah, that's when it goes. I'm sorry? Yeah, same thing with a sponge. If you leave a sponge in your. Correct. If you want, once. Oh, you mean water going on it? Washing, you mean?
If it's in the sink.
Washing a sponge, you mean? Yeah.
No, if it's in the sink and you're washing it, you want to wash the dishes.
I understand. So how our sponges are a piece of foam covered with like a metallic something, right? So the metallic part I don't think is washable. It doesn't have melaben. The sponge part might. Yeah, so you should try to get it out. The same thing.
That could be considered melaben.
Probably. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, so so you should do the same thing. Fork it out. get it out somehow, yeah, with that thing. Okay, we'll stop over here. Last part. Didn't get to it.
So paper towels are